3270 to close at 380.340, down $2.10. Silver at a high of 537 and a low of 519 to close at 523, down 9 cents. Platinum at a high of 410 and a low of 399.50 to close at 406.90, down $6.50. And the Dow at a high of 3682.90 and a low of 3643 to close at 3674.50, up $22.10. And in the meantime, the dollar continues to fall against the Japanese yen. I think it was like at 98.50 today.
Exactly as I said it would do, and it will continue to fall, and your worth will continue to deteriorate every single moment that it continues.
You got her.
What are we going to do about it, Gene?
Well, I know what I've done about it. You know, I quit putting my money into cash, and I don't do this to tell people a lie, but I practice what I sell, or I practice what I preach. You know, I may be a little bit more radical than some, but I tell my clients this: I don't have a checking account anymore. I don't have a credit card anymore. I cash my check, I pay my bills, and whatever I have left over, I put into gold and silver and just throw it away and forget about it. You know, I'm not in for a get-rich-quick scheme. The numismatic stuff, the gold and silver is doing real well, up anywhere from 5 to 15%, but that's not why I have it. I don't have an insurance policy in my house to get rich so I can light my house on fire and collect on it. I have it there to protect myself, and that's why I have my gold and silver, to have something to fall back onto, not if this thing falls apart, but when it does fall apart.
You realize that the Department of the Treasury has presented Congress with a design for the new money.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be out probably before the end of the year. Some say it could be out sometime this month.
Well, I'm going to say this again, folks. When they change the currency, there will be a devaluation of the dollar. Now, I don't know exactly how they're going to do it or what percentage it's going to be or what the ratio is going to be, but I have never ever seen a currency change occur in the entire world anywhere unless the currency was devalued at the same time the change was made. One good recent example is what used to be the Soviet Union, the countries that belonged to the Soviet Union. Russia, for example. The one just previous to that that you all may remember is Mexico. Mexico, south of the border. So, what could they do to protect themselves against a 10-to-1 or 100-to-1?
Well, the Russian people, with that example, and it followed right in line. They lost, the people lost about 65% of the value of their money because they were allowed to turn in they could keep 1993 currency that was printed. Anything other than that was basically worthless. They were allowed a small token of their savings to convert. But they basically lost 65% of their money. Well, the Russian gold market is on a closed market. They're not on the same international market as we are, so it's basically within their borders where they can buy and sell and trade in gold. And they have what they call a Russian shevronet. It's like a little $5 gold coin. And the day that they did that, that gold coin increased by accident, 65%, the same amount of money that people lost. And so that those that had their money in gold, they didn't get rich. They just kept their money.
Well, we all know that the Russians were in bad shape anyway.
Their
ruble wasn't worth much at all, and they sometimes had to work a week for just a couple of loaves of bread.
Exactly.
So when we talk about their currency being devalued by 65%, well, they're really in a bad way. And Americans think that they're hurting now. Wait until they see their currency devalued by as little as 10-to-1. It amazes me that people sit out there and listen to this. They see what's happening in the world. They look around. They know the money is not backed by anything. It's not real money. They know that there's a change coming. I mean, it was on the front page of USA Today.
But you know what I hear, Bill? I've got to think about it. That just boggles my mind.
Well, we all know that.
I got to think about whether or not I want to protect my financial future.
We know the sheeple don't think.
That's it.
They wait for the shepherd and the dogs to come along and point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, it's almost time to go to the sheds, folks, where you're going to be sheared. So keep growing those woolly coats. Thank you, Gene. Where can they get in touch with you?
1-800-289-2646. 1-800-BUY-COIN. Give us a call. And you know, folks, we got all this information, and it's free of charge, but, you know, it's like learning how to use a gun and never using it. You know, if you don't use the information, what good is it? If you, you know, if you want something to read, and believe me, there's just information junkies out there. If you want something to read, that's why they made libraries. But use the information. Get yourself protected. 1-800-289-2646.
And do it now, folks. Don't procrastinate. You know how you are. Thank you, Gene.
Thank you, Bill.
Good night.
Good night.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside today. The music died.
Well, folks, going to read to you Department of Justice internal memo not for release, Friday, July 1st, 1994. This is the Wicked Witch of the West schedule. I guess she's the Wicked Witch of the East, isn't she? Absolutely the Wicked Witch of the East. Janet Reno, this is her schedule. Wherever she appears, look for it in your newspaper. Watch for it on your local TV. Be there. Demonstrate. Call her the traitor, the witch, the murderer, the perpetrator of the Waco massacre. That she is. Don't fail in this. Let this traitor know that we know who and what she is, and that we know where she's going to be, even though she doesn't release it to the press. See, it's only known at a local level just before she is to appear so that demonstrators cannot be there. Well, we're going to overturn that. Today, ladies and gentlemen, she was at Columbus, Ohio, in Chillicothe, Ohio. Thursday, which I believe is tomorrow. Is tomorrow Thursday? What? Okay, thank you. Sometimes, folks, I lose a day. She'll be tomorrow in Washington in Conference Room B in the Justice Department. And it's open to federally credentialed reporters only. Remember, I told you there is no such thing as freedom of the press? Well, if you're not politically correct, you don't get federally credentialed. Therefore, you can't go. And there'll be a crime bill tour in California, Petaluma, California. She'll tour Polyclass Foundation headquarters, 1225 North McDowell at 1 p.m. 1 p.m. That's Thursday, folks. Petaluma, California. She'll tour Polyclass Foundation headquarters, 1225 North McDowell at 1 p.m. Photo op only. The meeting is closed. You see how this witch operates? She'll give an address on the Community Crime Bill Forum, Petaluma Community Center, Lucchese Park, 320 North McDowell, 1:30 p.m. Make sure you're there. Make sure you boo her right off the podium. She's a traitor. She's a murderess. Oakland, California, tour Lockwood Gardens Housing Development, 3:45 p.m. Tour Garden Center at 666 Bellevue at 5 p.m. That's Thursday, July 7th. Friday, July 8th, there'll be a crime bill tour in Texas and Louisiana, Houston, Texas. She'll participate in statewide video teleconference on crime in Texas at the Texas Medical Center at 2:30 p.m. Other locations around the state to be announced. Then she'll go to Lafayette, Louisiana, and attend the barbecue with area law enforcement traders, members of Congress, also traders, other traders, at Vermilionville Pavilion at 7 p.m. on Friday. We'll try to give you updates on her itinerary whenever we can. She is a murderess. She's a traitor. She's many other things, but I'm not going to waste time tonight on her. Now I'm going to read to you excerpts from the July 4th address by Václav Havel, president of the Czech Republic, at the Liberty Medal ceremony. Now this is important, folks. If you think that what you've been hearing on the hour of the time is ridiculous, listen to what this man says. This is the president of the Czech Republic. He gave this address at the Liberty Medal ceremony. His name is Václav Havel. Here we go. The fewer answers the era of rational knowledge provides to the basic questions of human being, the more deeply it would seem that people, behind its back, as it were, cling to the ancient certainties of their tribe. Because of this, individual cultures, increasingly lumped together by contemporary civilization, are realizing with new urgency their own inner autonomy and the inner differences of others. Cultural conflicts are increasing and are understandably more dangerous today than at any other time in history. The relationship to the world that modern science fostered and shaped now appears to have exhausted its potential. It is increasingly clear that, strangely, the relationship is missing something. It fails to connect with the most intrinsic nature of reality and with natural human experience. It is now more of a source of disintegration and doubt than a source of integration and meaning. It produces what amounts to a state of schizophrenia. Man, as an observer, is becoming completely alienated from his self as a being. Today we find ourselves in a paradoxical situation. We enjoy all the achievements of modern civilization that have made our physical existence on this earth easier in so many important ways. Yet we do not know exactly what to do with ourselves, where to turn. The world of our experiences seems chaotic, disconnected, and confusing. There appear to be no integrating forces, no unified meaning, no true inner understanding of phenomena in our experience of the world. Experts can explain anything in the objective world to us, yet we understand our own lives less and less. In short, we live in the postmodern world where everything is possible and almost nothing is certain. The artificial world order of the past decades has collapsed, and a new, more just order has not yet emerged. The central political task of the final years of this century, then, is the creation of a new model of coexistence among the various cultures, peoples, races, and religious spheres within a single, interconnected civilization. Are you listening? The idea of human rights and freedoms must be an integral part of any meaningful world order. Yet I think it must be anchored in a different place and in a different way than has been the case so far. If it is to be more than just a slogan mocked by half the world, it cannot be expressed in the language of a departing era, and it must not be mere froth floating in the subsiding waters of faith in a purely scientific relationship to the world. Yes, the only real hope of people today is probably a renewal of our certainty that we are rooted in the earth and at the same time the cosmos. This awareness endows us with the capacity for self-transcendence. Politicians at international forums may reiterate 1,000 times that the basis for the new world order must be universal respect for human rights. But it will mean nothing as long as this imperative does not derive from the respect of the miracle of being, the miracle of the universe, the miracle of nature, and the miracle of our own existence. Now, he consented, ladies and gentlemen, to an interview, and there is an article being written based upon that speech and upon that interview by Trudy Rubin, who is a CFR member, I might add, and this appeared in the Philadelphia Inquirer, July the 6th, 1994. Now, they're using tribalism as a new buzzword for nationalism, but we've known that for quite some time. Ms. Rubin is a CFR member, and she seems to suggest that anyone who believes in America has a Stone Age mentality. Listen to this article, ladies and gentlemen. Also, I hope you noticed over the 4th of July weekend that the major networks did not air any patriotic programming whatsoever. No patriotic movies, no patriotic programming, no celebrations, no nothing. They ignored the birthday of the nation. Why? Because that's not politically correct in an emerging new world order. This article is entitled Prophet Havel Gets Less Grief on South Street Than from the West by Trudy Rubin. Before Czech President Václav Havel addressed Philadelphians on the demise of the modern era on Monday, he spent an evening strolling the most postmodern street of the city. Walking jam-packed, multiracial South Street in slacks and open shirt, stopping at Café Nola for Chardonnay and New Orleans shrimp, graciously accepting a bottle of champagne and congratulations from an admirer, carrying I Love an America helium balloon past the punk stores, the panhandlers, the condom supermarkets, the galleries, the nubile teeny boppers trying to pick up the dark-suited U.S. Secret Service agents, with him listening to cries of, "Who's he? Checo what?" Popping into Quincy's pub for a beer, these were all a relief from rehearsing the grim prophecy he came to deliver at Independence Hall on the 4th of July. It isn't easy to be the Cassandra of the modern world, warning of the dangers to democracy. This isn't what Havel aspired to when he led the 1989 Velvet Revolution that peacefully overthrew communism in Czechoslovakia. Back then, Havel had emerged as the most eloquent prophet of a post-communist age of globalism and liberal democracy. But too soon, the New World began a nosedive into chaos, disconnectedness, and tribalism. Havel's speech on accepting the Freedom Medal in Philadelphia was an urgent attempt to fathom what has gone wrong. As a playwright, philosopher, dissident, Havel went to jail for writing that Eastern Europe must rejoin European civilization. The Czech writer was the prophet of civil society extolling the virtues of non-governmental institutions and civic responsibility as the bedrock of democracy. His essays became biblical texts for Eastern European dissidents. After 1989, he wanted to thrill Western audiences, including the United States Congress. But once the Soviet Union crumbled, Havel discovered that Western plaudits were worthless. Leaders who had cheered him weren't willing to sacrifice much blood or treasure to promote civil society in Eastern Europe. The European Union and NATO froze out Czechoslovakia, Poland, and Hungary, even though these countries shared the values that Europe and NATO supposedly stood for. Havel's greatest fears were aroused by Western impotence. In Bosnia, where NATO was unwilling to challenge a Serbia bent on destroying multi-ethnic Bosnia and establishing ethnic purity as a new basis for statehood in the heart of Europe. Nobody wants to see it, Nobody wants to do something, he complained to me bitterly in Philadelphia. Americans and Europeans, so willing to fight against the Soviet Union, showed themselves unwilling to fight for the preservation of democratic values in Europe. When the threat became more amorphous, President Clinton never even tried to make the real case to the American people on why force should be used in Bosnia. Pondering what went wrong, Havel has concluded that the answer lies in the peculiar period through which we are living. One age, the modern, has ended, and something new is being born. The modern age was based on the triumph of science and the faith that people could shape a world based on general and rationally knowable laws. This belief was common to both West and East. Communists held that the party could remold society according to the rules of Marx's scientific materialism, while the West believed that man was endowed by the Creator with the abilities to reshape the world. And that's bullshit. That's not what the West believed. We never set out to reshape the world. She goes on, the communist fallacy was exposed first with the collapse of the Soviet Empire. With all its ensuing uncertainties, ordinary people are now searching for new rules by which to live. Havel had hoped that democracy would provide the foundation for the creation of a new world order, but he has reluctantly concluded that the West lacks the inner strength, the liberal democracy created by America's founders, based on enlightened optimism and Protestant belief that man could shape his destiny seems out of touch with the end of the 20th century. I would ask why. And my answer would be, because nobody understands what America's founders based this nation upon. It's not taught in the schools anymore. Nobody owns a copy of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. It seems out of touch, ladies and gentlemen, not because it's wrong or it doesn't fit into the 20th century, but because Americans have forgotten what it is. And she continues, in the East, the collapse of the bipolar structure that kept the world in check for five decades has unsettled millions. In the West, a rational belief in man's capability to unlock the scientific mysteries of the universe no longer seems sufficient to generate the self-confidence required to reorder the world. And in America, the optimism of the Founding Fathers no longer pervades a country whose population contains more and more immigrants of non-European background. Gurus of multiculturalism in the best universities dispute whether the Eurocentric values of the Founders should prevail. Havel believes that the idea of human rights and freedoms is still necessary for the establishment of a just new world order. Notice he says just new world order, meaning that in his estimation, as well as in mine, dear listeners, that the new world order will not be just. And he's correct. And she continues. But he is wrestling with where to find a new anchor for those values, one that differs from the scientific rationalism of the modern era. He toys with new cosmologies. Where have you heard that before? He toys with new cosmologies that link mankind with some greater whole. Agnostic that he is, he does not call for a revival of organized religion. But the question that he raises is the right one. International forums may tout equal rights based on God's creation, but in today's world, where democratic leaders aren't willing to fight for the principles, neither Democrats nor demagogues take that demand seriously. Well, I don't know what category you would place me in, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm definitely a leader, and I take it very seriously. She continues. Havel says that this is because mankind needs to believe that individual rights stem from a higher authority. Having lost faith in man's ability to reorder the universe by himself, man must find a higher rationale on which to base right behavior. I never had any faith in man's ability to reorder the universe, or even to govern himself, or even to reorder his own society, even in a small town, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe that anybody who has ever held that belief is a fool. Mankind does need to believe that individual rights stem from a higher authority, and the only higher authority is God. But listen to this, for she continues, "Otherwise, Havel worries about the future of civilization as a fearful world descends into narrow tribalism. The Western governmental leaders who shun his warnings should remember this man has been proven right before." How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Now, let me make something very clear. I do not believe in nationalism. I do not believe in tribalism. I do not believe in racism. I believe in principles and ideals. I believe in those principles and ideals that this nation was founded upon because it resulted in man reaching the highest pinnacle of his entire history. The first time in the history of the entire world that man or woman had ever been free in their own right, kings and queens in their own right, with the government as their chattel servant. The founding principle being that there is a creator, and that creator has endowed man with certain unalienable rights that are endowed because of the gift of intellect, intelligence, and that man has a responsibility to himself, to his loved ones. He exercised that responsibility, created protections for those rights and for individual freedom, liberty, and gave man the chance to rule himself, to prosper, gave him the freedom to worship at the altar of his choice. These principles and ideals, ladies and gentlemen, which I have discussed and expounded upon countless hours over this broadcast, I believe in. I could care less about what the boundaries of the United States of America are. I don't care if we change our flag tomorrow and fly a different kind of flag, for it is not the flag that I am loyal to. It is just a representation of what I care about. I know no allegiance to the President of the United States or the Congress or any military officer or organization, except when he is constitutionally appointed or elected to the position that he or she holds and is protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights, wherein these principles and ideals are enshrined and protected. And that's it. If you want to have a new world order, I am not opposed to world government or a new world order. Never have been, and I've said it many, many times on this program. But instead of giving up that which is the pinnacle, the penultimate achievement of all humankind upon this earth, and placing man back into the bonds of slavery, if you want to build this new world order, if you want to build world government, build it based upon the principles and ideals and the foundation upon which the United States of America was based and became the greatest nation upon the face of this earth. And if you do that, I will support it. If you cannot do that unless you can show me principles and ideals that are better for mankind, I will oppose it with everything at my disposal. Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening in the world today emanates from conflicts and problems that have been held against and between ancient religions, ancient secret organizations, tribes and nations, emanating from antiquity, beginning with the Assyrians, brought into its highest level in those ancient days in the city of Babylon, and forced forward into the future to plague us. And I've got to tell you something. I don't give a damn about any of it. I have come to realize that all organized religions are methods of control of masses of population by the priesthood, and that tithing in these organized religions is just another form of taxation upon the people, added to the heavy tax burden that they already carry. And I'm sick of it. We are supposed to be at a level in the development of mankind where we can use our brains. But we don't seem to be able to do that. And I look around and I read the writings of the Illuminati and I talk to them whenever I have a chance. And then I listen to you when you call in. And I'm not talking about all of you. I listen to you, and I go around this country, and I speak, and I educate, and then someone comes up to me and says, my first priority is saving my assets. No mention of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedoms, the principles or ideals upon which this country was founded and what we're losing. None of it. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that in many cases, the Illuminati are absolutely correct in their assumption of the ability of the common man to think, to reason, to be responsible, and to rule himself. A nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who have no intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. That is one of the tenets of these men and women. I want to know why you profess that it's not true, but then set about daily to prove that it is true, and thus, in the process, make fools out of those of us who are trying to uphold those principles, and to try to tell them that if you are just allowed to have access to the same information that they have access to, and that I have been able to dig out, that you will prove them wrong. Why is it that you do not prove them wrong? That you continue to validate exactly what they say. And I'm going to tell you, if it's really true, if you're really that stupid, if you're really that ignorant and that apathetic and you really don't care, it's not just me that arrives at this conclusion, folks. It's everybody who sets out on the path that I have set out reaches a point where they look at the American people and say, I was wrong. The Illuminati is right in one respect. They really are a mass of stupid, ignorant sheep. Apathetic. They don't care about anything unless you affect their bank account or their automobile or take one of their television sets out of one of their bedrooms. Now, I know that hearing this upsets many of you. Because many of you call me and tell me that. And I know, whenever you do it, that I have hit home, I have hit the mark. You see, if I'm walking down the street and someone on the sidewalk a block away yells into the air, thief, murderer, thief, murderer, I look around to see if I can spot the thief or the murderer. But I don't get upset. Because I know that that person is not talking about me because I'm not a thief and I'm not a murderer. But the thief, the murderer, gets very upset, agitated, angry, because someone has exposed him. Someone has pointed him out. And he stands like a neon sign in the night. And everyone knows that it is true. And he is angry. He's mad. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, I know that I am right. Right. Isn't it strange? Shakespeare knew the principle of this. In one of his plays, he said, "Methinks thou dost protest too much." Many of you have read it. Many of you ever heard of it. Many of you understand what I'm talking about here. Anybody? I think it is absolutely incredible that so many people buy in to so many lies and then pretend to be intelligent. Pretend to be intelligent. This broadcast has never pinged on or attacked one group or one people. We're not concerned with race. We oppose racism in any form. We're not against any religion except when that religion infringes upon the rights and the freedoms of others, or when that religion plots to take those rights away. The same with governments. The same with organizations. We are 100% against any kind of secret organization, no matter what it's called, or no matter how you justify it. For secrecy cannot exist in a free society. Secrecy only exists, ladies and gentlemen, when something is being hidden. Hidden. Hidden away from someone else because of what they believe the consequences would be if that someone else knew what those secrets were. Also, secrecy is a way to entice the gullible. By promising that if they learn certain things, or if they do certain things over a period of time, and they go through degrees of initiation, that they will become superior to everyone else, will somehow magically be endowed with some superior intellect, and then will become one of the elect. They're told from the beginning, that they'll never know exactly what the organization is or what it does or what these secrets are until they go through these degrees of initiation. Now, would you join such an organization? Many of you have. I did when I was a teenager. Not understanding or knowing what I know now. I was very, very stupid for a good portion of my life. The difference between me and most of you, not all of you, because some of you have learned what I have learned and have done what I have done, but the difference between me and most of you is I understand that I was stupid, I was ignorant, I was never apathetic, for my life was one of service, thinking that I was serving my country in the military. I cared. I just didn't know the truth. I didn't know what to really care about. And I cared about a lot of things that I should never have cared about and should have violently opposed. The difference between me and you, ladies and gentlemen, most of you, is that I had the guts to stand in front of a mirror and admit to myself that I'd been stupid most of my life. I had been ignorant. And that without identifying that, understanding it, and admitting it to myself, to my face, that I could not go forward and make any change in myself or what was coming. And I'm going to ask all of you to do that if you have the guts. See, if you can't do it, you're still a sheeple. You haven't settled matters with yourself, much less be able to come to grips with the truth of the world. If your own ego will not allow you to admit the state that you have been in for most of your life, then you're certainly not going to be able to admit the truth of the world or perform any action to change it, or to support it, or to muster up the guts to join a militia to fight it. And you all know this. Every one of you knows it. Many of you belong to religions that are so absolutely ridiculous that on the surface of them, they are absolutely ludicrous. I'm not going to go into it because I don't care if you belong to those religions. I don't care if you worship at those altars. In fact, I will fight to protect your right to do so. But it doesn't do much for the state of your intellect. Many of you follow leaders and philosophies that are absolutely asinine. And it doesn't say much for your intellect at all. Most of you, through my experience, will believe and follow anyone who presents any kind of a ridiculous story in any kind of a way that appears to be reasonable, but most of all, the person is charismatic. Jim Baker, his wife, dripping with mascara, crying phony tears night after night after night after night, whimpering like a 3-year-old child, pretending to be hurt to get attention from his mommy and poppy. Only their aim was to get money out of your pockets. I see you going head over tea kettle over the Trinity Broadcast Network that blatantly shows you the symbolism of their allegiance right on the television screen every time they air a broadcast. The two lions rampant, the cross and the crown, the sign of the Templars, the wedding of the church and the state. the world ruled by the descendants of the house of David. British Israelism. How dumb can you be? Unless you buy into it. If you buy into it, can you justify it? Pat Robertson and his whole family have been Freemasons forever. That's why he never talks about Freemasonry. That's why he does not attack the New World Order. Oh, but you point to his book, The New World Order? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something about that book. That book was written as a response to the listeners and supporters of Pat Robertson, when they realized that he was not saying anything against the New World Order, was not attacking it, was not identifying the enemy to them, and they were asking some very embarrassing questions. Pat Robertson, not being able or willing to write against the New World Order because he's a part of bringing it about, had Tal Brook ghostwrite that book for him. I doubt seriously if Pat Robertson's even ever read it. And still, he does not attack the New World Order. He does not identify the true enemy who's bringing it about because he's one of them. He's a Zionist. International Zionism contains more Christian supporters and is being propelled forward by more Christians than it ever was in its history by Jews. And you all point to the Jews and say, it's the Jews. You poor, poor little sheeple. It is amazing to me absolutely amazing. Did you know that the conscience possessor and exerciser of the divine wisdom, they call it the divine wisdom attained in what the Hindus called Buddhahood, but what among Western initiates is known as mastership, that Gemini is the night house of Mercury, who has a day house in Virgo, the sixth sign of the zodiac, so that the numbers 3, 4, 5, and 6 become symbolic of the sun, moon, and mastership of self. Osiris, Isis, and Horus, the doctrine, the church, and the full body of initiates. You know, it's interesting that according to the same philosophy, the sun and moon conjoined was the symbol of Atma, the divine spark in man, which they say survives the grave and can never die, which makes man immortal, which makes man, according to their religion, God. Did you know that in Hebrew, the numbers 60, 30, 40, and 50, which are the foregoing digits multiplied by 10, remember, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now we have 60, 30, 40, and 50. It's the Kabbalistic symbol of creation. It was S, L, M, and N, which the old Chaldeans employed to make the word Salmanu, meaning Savior, and which added to the word Sar, or King, became Salmanusar, or King Solomon, Shalmanasar. The Hebrews translated it into Sar Shalom, or Prince of Peace. Thus, the conception of the universe as a cosmic king, Solomon's temple, presided over by the divine spirit, united to the divine wisdom. It was the Kabbalistic mystery of the ages. People who have studied this have long puzzled over the strange 18th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, which I told you is a chronicle of the initiation of humanity. It says, quote, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. End quote. You might be interested to note, ladies and gentlemen, that this same number, 666, appears in the 13th verse of the 9th chapter
of 2 Chronicles as the number of talents of gold, which came annually to King Solomon out of Sheba as the tribute of its beautiful queen. You see, gold in ancient Kabbalism is the number of the solar light, and the Kabbalistic number of the sun was also 36. So these are synonymous. Did you know that the Son of Light is a name frequently bestowed upon Freemasons? In fact, this term is said to be but a clever pun on the ancient term free, spelled P-H-R-E, Messan, M-E-S-S-E-N, which literally means sons of light. Hermes Trismegistus, the thrice great according to the ancient charges, the founder of Masonry. According to the ancient Hindu system, Mercury was the symbol of Budai, the divine wisdom, a portion of which was the spiritual soul in man. Therefore, as 666 is the sum of all the numbers in sequence from 1 to 36 added together, it is the grand number of the sun, just like I always told you. Now, the Hebrew name of the sun, ladies and gentlemen, is Shemesh, which is a pure Babylonian word, and it's spelled Shin Mim Shin. In the Hebrew, S-H-M-S-H. Hebrew letters representing 300 plus 40 plus 300 are fire, the philosophers of fire, rising out of and returning into water. This total of 640, when 10 plus 5 plus 6 plus 5 are 26, means Yahweh or Jehovah. And when that is added to it, it gives us the Kabbalistic symbol of the deity operating his cosmic laws in the creation, preservation, and transformations of our universe from the physical meaning, medium, of its central sun, spelled S-U-N. As this number is also the number of a man, the days of human gestation, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this very carefully. The days of human gestation being estimated as 270, there were added to this 36 as the number of the sun and 360 for the 12 zodiacal signs of 30 degrees each, which contribute the creative factor and the influences under which each prospective human life would be spent. Thus were established the Kabbalistic factors to a symbolic contemplation of the triumphs and vicissitudes of a human career. From the cradle to the grave. It adds up to 666, and is subject to whatever fate might be meted out by the immutable laws of astrological determination, which no matter what individuals may think of such things today, they held unrivaled sway over the human mind from a period anterior to the beginning of written history down to a few hundred years ago. And Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan used it in the White House. The real fact is that the Chaldean astrologers had anticipated these very modern discoveries and were perfectly familiar with the main physical features of our universe. Remember I told you evil emanates from the heart of man. The Antichrist is man, illumined man. All who have gone through the 3 degrees in 6 acts. 6, 6, 6. The number is 18, sometimes represented by the caduceus. It is the symbol of the androgynous god. These are the people who will rule the new world order. It doesn't matter if you believe this or agree with it or not. It is the truth. And many of you belong to religions that espouse this crap under other symbols, under other names, and you're helping to bring it about. Many of you belong to churches and religions and groups and organizations that are helping to break down the right of individuals to worship at the altar of their choice, and you are melding all of these basic religions into one, which will be a one-world religion, which you will be required to belong to. Or you will be imprisoned. And all of you had damn well better wake up fast. Good night. and God bless you all.
Thank you.